D2. Number 13A.
Now, we have seen up to now that being is like a divine cybernetic model, that is an enormous structure, self-organized within itself. And within this self-organization, there is interchange of constant information, which means we don't have to give information to that being, that the system within itself has a feedback, constant interchange of communication and information, and that within that system there is that intelligent information which not only leads to a desired goal, but also in doing so can prevent every error that wants to creep in, to keep it out, or if it creeps in, just to give the right answer so as to correct it and to expel it. Now, this gives us a sense that being must just be seen as this self-organizing structure. And the more we see that structure, naturally, the more that identity principle works, so that within ourselves, the cybernetic responds to divine cybernetics. We have seen yesterday, too, that with that illustration from that little boy Gauss, that he can tackle a situation much better if he hasn't just a linear concept of arithmetic, but a structural concept of arithmetic. Therefore, we can see that if we get out from a linear concept of metaphysics into a structural concept of science, that therefore much more will open up. Further, we have seen that we cannot apply the chart, that the chart is self-applying, self-practicing. So that our whole devotion, therefore, is going into one line, namely to culture that divine cybernetic model within ourselves, so that it can respond to it. It's no more applying it, it's now responding to it. Therefore, it isn't so much the question, how can I apply this chart, then the question, how shall I go on, or what is my study? It's really more than study. What is my approach to the chart so as to culture this whole cybernetic model within one's consciousness? And this study is at the same time practice. So what I would like to do today and tomorrow is to come back to this chart and just give some indication how each one for himself can systematically culture that cybernetic within himself. The subject is so big that it isn't the purpose of a lecturer to say everything on the subject. Modern education is different than what we had in our times. In our times we were taught really the so-called linear way of education, namely adding one truth to the other, so that we had, so to say, a dotted knowledge or a consciousness with dotted knowledge, just with point knowledge, single truth. It is really what perhaps we can call pointillism in art. In pointillism you have also that thing that you paint the picture just by single little color dots. It's not something which is a rhythmic round. And That was more or less the education which we had at school. Today, more and more now, schools are changing the way of education from this sense of pointillism, so to say, to teaching the student not so much the single facts, but the structure of a subject, which is something very different. You see, little Gauss saw the structure of arithmetic. He didn't see the little points of the one and then the two and then next the three, completely oblivious of what is at the end. He saw the structure, and in this way we can see that if we consider the structure, not so much to be interested how can I solve this problem, or if this and this argument comes up, how can I deal with it, but that we get some sense of structure of the whole thing. So, as an example, I would like to take today and tomorrow the chart in the vertical and really speak about it in a way that I have written about it in the study booklets. But there I have much more shown the horizontals, so from here and there, especially number 4, I also tried to show the verticals a little bit. But the subject is so big that no book should be written on all. What can be done is to point out the structure and leave it to each one to see how to develop that structure within himself. So let us take this chart and the survey which you have and just look at it vertically from the point of view of the word. What I will do is to take the word first in divine science, then in absolute Christian science, and then in Christian science. And I will do it first by taking the survey and then the synonymous term on each level. Let's start with the word. What is the word? The word is the self-declaration of the infinite being. Infinite being declaring itself to us what being is. It is declaring it to us. If being would declare itself to itself, which is really the highest sense of being, then we wouldn't need a chart at all. Then we wouldn't need science at all. So right away we see that the chart is really a method of how this infinite self-contained being can be understood by us. The word as that self-declaration of itself declares itself on divine science, on the level of divine science, as being self-existent. So, consciousness is on that level where it begins to realize that being is self-existent, that it is the one father, the one maintainer, the one supporter, the one provider. It's that which gives us at once the feeling there is an infinitely providing, maintaining, self-sustaining, self-renewing, self-existent being. And I like to put the tone on self because it shows that being itself is the one and only self, the one and only ego. And that therefore life is looking after itself, that's the Father. Infinite one life is really looking after itself, always creating itself anew, always bringing itself forth anew, always maintaining itself anew, always supporting and providing itself anew. It's that withinness of which we always have in divine science, that infinite oneness, which just gives us that sense that it is the infinite origin, the infinite source the infinite source, the infinite self-expression of itself. If I begin to see that, then naturally I am free from any questions, from any buts and whys, from any doubts and fears and so on. If consciousness stays there, it doesn't ask any more questions, because in that consciousness, as you can realize, because being knowing itself, establishing itself anew, creating itself anew, maintaining itself anew, it's within itself. And so no question enters in, no doubt enters in there, and one is self-content in that consciousness of the one life. Of the one life, which we also have indicated as infinite light. You know where I am? I'm going through the survey there where we have divine signs. It's the infinite light. Mrs. Eddy says that the word of God in divine signs is the infinite light, saying to the darkness, I'm light. Not saying to the darkness, go away. You see, if it would say here to the darkness, go away, it would take into consideration that there is something outside of the one being. Here at this point, we are not at all interested what this divine light does to its opposite. Not a bit. And really, we do well to try to stick to that level as fast and as perseverantly as we can, so that we finally drop that old question, what does it do to the opposite? In divine science, there is no opposite. In divine science, it is considering that life knows itself, that there is one life and nothing else. And only in this way we really begin to solve that, all those questions of death and lack and so on, because the question doesn't arise there. We are quite happy by seeing that life is that infinite light which says to every situation, I'm infinite light, I'm infinite life, I'm infinitely self-supporting, self-maintaining, self-providing, self-establishing, self-creating, and that all that's going on. That shuts out the question of anything opposite. We have here also as a tone that infinite individuality, that life is infinite individuality in the singular, because there is only one life. That individuality is infinite individuality. And because it's one life, it can't be infinite individualities, which we are considering here on this level. And I think it's quite a thrill, really, to consider this, because we make so often that mistake of saying, I wonder what is my individuality. I wonder how I'm working out my individuality. I also have a divine individuality. And you can see that this is not divine science. That this is bringing in I and my, bringing in a personal sense which is excluded on this level. And we do jolly well by trying to get ourselves out of the way. We have been knowing that now for years and years. And so let's see that we really become serious about it. I know it's not easy, and we fall back to it and so on. Well, one can be a bit loving and tender to oneself and forgive oneself of doing this, but fundamentally what is necessary is to be awake to the fact that this is a wrong question. What is my individuality? Well, he has a wonderful individuality. Just, that's not true. He hasn't. There is no he in the infinite being. The only he there is God, is life. Life has a wonderful individuality because it's infinite. And if we don't take in any me and you and he and she, then we begin to realize that there is infinite individuality everywhere, at any place, and we don't ask, do I have a right individuality? Do I have a divine individuality? The picture. Then we get the freedom. Then we get the sense, my consciousness is infinite individuality. Consciousness is infinite individuality. I don't ask my individuality. It's anyway not really good, because usually when one thinks that he has a wonderful individuality, I have a wonderful individuality, we really are usually thinking in an atomistic way about individuality, namely a special individuality which nobody else has. Just me for myself. Sorry. Myself. I like you to give a talk of 20 hours in German. Oh, I would love that. Because I like to giggle. So have a good giggle. It's included in the price. Mind you, I make the same mistake when I speak German. Because thought is just always ahead of one's mouth, you see. Yes. So we get really a big freedom, you see, if we broaden out consciousness away from I and me and you and see there is infinite individuality. Then I make it impersonal. The it has infinite individuality. The cyberneter has infinite individuality. I also, that's about individuality we had here. Also, I want to make a little interjection here and remind that I have said in the booklets, when I was presenting that survey in booklet number 4, that this survey is not all what we can say on these ideas on each level, but that it is just a small extraction of aspects which I have taken. So don't make out of this survey a dogma or the final thing. Let's enlarge it and elaborate it, and not to feel bound back again, religious, bound back to this survey. All right. Corresponding to the word in divine science from the point of view of the synonymous term, we know that John Dolly pointed out that it really means life. What sort of life? One life. So it isn't so much the term life that is under consideration, but the one life. In other words, that the place value of life here must be considered and just seen in its proper sense. It means here that if thought on consciousness is on the level of divine science, it admits of but one life, which means that it does not ask any question about many lives, about my life, his life, all the various lives. That here, life is just capitalized as the one life, and not many individual lives in manifestation. It's the one life with infinite manifestation as one life. Golly, if we would only see that, we would solve the querying about our lives and death and eternal life at once. Because this is the healing, really, of all those questions about my life, life before birth, life after death. your life, life in a million years, where I am then, life is life. It does not know any splitting up of life into lives. If we ask about our life, and if we can demonstrate our life, and what is life after death, we are going out from a divided sense of life. And so we can see that the question, what was my life before birth, after death, what will it be, is a wrong question. At this point, it's just a wrong question. And it cannot be answered here, because it says, I don't know your life, nor my life, nor his life. I only know life being life. It isn't split up. It is an undivided life. I think in divine science we have the touch of undividedness, that it is that life cannot be divided in the life before birth, life after birth, life before death, life after death, cannot be divided in my life, your life, cannot be divided in human life and animal life and plant life. It cannot be divided in social life and in political life and family life. All those divisions just fall away. They are not under consideration at this level. It's just seeing that life is life. Therefore, we have that life in the sense that it is eternal, ever-present life, that life cannot die, that it cannot disappear, that it cannot come and go, that it cannot have a beginning, no end, nothing of that sort. It answers all those questions which we ask about life. Just think about it once in a nice quiet evening. We are so interested, and that's quite natural, in our life. Who isn't? We want to have a good life. We want to have an eternal life if possible. It's all about our life. And if you see here that you ask a wrong question, then it's already everything solved. Then you put away all those wrong questions, says they can't be solved because I cannot have a life. The I. Only the I am, which we had on the level of science itself, the I am has a life and is life. And that's the only life there is. And so we may be willing to let go of all these questions about that those many lives and the development of our life and concentrate consciousness on just watching, beholding, adoring, wondering about that one life, that one existence, that one self-contained, self-maintained, self-provided life without beginning, without end. And then we see something about life. And then we are not interested to know what is happening before death and after death. It is life. If this is the one life, then this one life lives itself. And this frees me at once from that enormous burden that I have to live life, that I have to live God, that I have to live a good life, that I have to live a constructive life. If life is the only thing that can live and lives itself, then I am completely freed from that responsibility to care for my life. You may think, well, that's escapism.
or fatalism. No, it isn't, because it's consciousness. It's scientific consciousness. I'm scientifically conscious that the one infinite life, which I know what it is living itself and nothing but itself. Therefore, I know that life can only live that which life contains, that which comes from the origin of life, the source of life, the self-maintenance of life. Can you see what a burden is taken off? I always feel that these levels take the burden off our shoulder. To have to do something, because the divine cybernetic is self-operating and self-organizing, and so will live itself. It's quite a thrill, you know, to take that simple formula, if I may call that, of divine science, and seeing that life capitalized alone lives, and what it lives is life capitalized. There is nothing simpler as such a formula. Life capitalized lives life capitalized. And really, if one is still enough and is considering this, it expands and expands and expands, and one really feels, yes, there is only life. There's only life going on. All right. Let's come from there to the level of absolute Christian science. And we first take those 3 points on the survey and see what they mean. What does absolute Christian science mean? It means that it now shows the relationship between principle and its infinite idea. See, in divine science, this was not shown. There it was just oneness. There it was just shown life being itself. Now, absolute Christian science comes and says, but that infinite sphere of oneness has in itself an infinite variety of expression of that oneness. And so thought is willing to ask, what then is the infinite expression of that one life? It is, as we have here, what I call creative impulsion. Most of these things I've taken really from John Dorley. What I have made up. He said, life is the infinite impulsion, the infinite creator, the infinite creative ability, the infinite urge, he said. You see, now it is, you feel how now life says, I manifest myself in infinite individualities of life. In infinite individualities of life. That's afterwards we have that. But here as impulsion, we just feel, yes, life, because it is renewing itself, maintaining itself, it must constantly renew its as new expressions of life, so that there is never repetition, that there is never routine. Here in absolute Christian science, I am being taken away from that sense that I'm going to do things the way I have been doing them before because I was successful. See, we are seldom going to do the same mistakes, sometimes we do, but very often we are going to do the same, trying to do the same thing because it was successful, and that's wrong too. This is not progression, this is no unfoldment, because the infinite never repeats itself. And so every time we start filling our consciousness with being, we should say, all what I have known up to now, I lay behind me, I put behind me. I'm not going to work with what I already know, because that's repetition. It's taking the manna of yesterday and making it live today. It's trying to make the old dead body live again, so to say. Let's have it new.